You are listening to the Midlife with Courage podcast. This is where women in midlife come each week for inspiration, motivation, and sometimes a little education to help them flourish after 40. This week, I'm talking to Tasha Hsu, a resiliency coach who at the age of 16 had a theater accident which left her paralyzed from the chest down. Listen to this amazing conversation with the resilient Tasha Hsu. And don't forget to hit that subscribe or follow button so that you don't miss an episode. Now let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Midlife with Courage. I am Kim Benoit, your host. I'm so happy to have you all here. I'm very happy also to have my guest here with me today. I have the beautiful Tasha Hsu. Welcome to Midlife with Courage, Tasha.
Thank you, Kim. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I am really excited to talk to you. You have a story of resilience. We'll put it that way, which fits right in.
Oh, I love sharing it. So I'm really grateful for this opportunity.
Yeah. So why don't you just introduce yourself to the listeners? Just tell us what you want them to know about you.
Yes. Well, my name is Tasha Hsu, and I live in Ellsworth, Wisconsin. And I grew up here in Ellsworth and really was just a typical teenager and 16 years old. I played volleyball. I was in sports. I was big into music and theater. And my life changed dramatically when I was a junior in high school. I was involved in theater, as I mentioned. And my sophomore year, I actually got the lead role as Sandy in my high school's production of Grease. So that was so much fun and just made me fall in love with theater. And I had no idea that my life would change drastically because of theater. And my junior year, I was cast as a chorus member in the production of The Wizard of Oz. And to make a very long story short, we were rehearsing a couple nights before our opening night. So things were extremely chaotic. We were not ready at all. And like most theater productions, and we were working on this one scene change that was giving us a lot of trouble. And so our jobs had been switched around and we didn't really know what we were doing. And it was pitch black because they were trying to create the effect of what it would be like on opening night. And I was standing on stage helping with this scene change when from directly behind me, they removed the cover off of the trapdoor on stage. I had no idea.
Oh my gosh.
And as I was standing there, someone said, "Hey, Tasha, you got to move out of the way." And it happened so fast, like 2 seconds. The trapdoor was opened. They said, "You got to move." I took one step backward, thinking, "Okay, I'll move out of the way." And my foot went through nothing. I instantly knew something was very wrong. Because you take a step backward, you expect there to be floor there. And it within seconds, I was laying on the basement floor, 16 feet below.
Wow.
Landing on the back of my head with my body coming next. My body flopped over my head, which only left one thing in between. And that was my neck. And I never lost consciousness. So I remember everything happening. I remember I actually heard my vertebrae snap. And of course, I didn't know what that meant. I was 16 years old. I didn't think anything bad could happen to me. But as I was brought to the local hospital in Red Wing, and then was told by the doctors that I would be airlifted to Rochester, Minnesota, I knew this is serious. They don't airlift people unless it's very serious. And that was, became extremely afraid and extremely scared. And so I was airlifted to Rochester and shortly after told that I had broken my neck, severely crushed my spinal cord, and that I would never walk again. And as a 16-year-old, I mean, you think, what? I have all these dreams. I have all these goals and all them include walking. I can't imagine my life being in a wheelchair. I don't want to be. I can't. This can't be my future. Yeah. And I was devastated. I can't put to words the overwhelming sadness, the sadness that my family felt, how much embarrassment I felt. Oh my goodness. Like, why did I do that? How did that happen?
Embarrassment. That's interesting. Why embarrassed? It wasn't your fault.
I know. But the crazy thing was I had always been a klutz. I had always gotten hurt. I was always breaking bones, falling off my bike, falling out of trees. You know, I was just always getting hurt. My mom always joked that when we went to the doctor's office, they never put my file away because I was always there. And so that was my first thought. I know people are like, what? That was your first thought? I was only you. Like, people at school are, my friends are going to make fun of me tomorrow. Like, this is just, I can't believe I did this. And yeah, obviously in time, I realized that I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
How these emotions that come to play in moments like that of just, I felt really silly. And obviously, because I didn't know the depth of my injuries.
Sure.
And so when I was told I would never walk again, I wanted to die. I mean, I'm like, there's no way. I can't do this. I've had 16 good years. I've had an amazing life. I've traveled all over the country with my parents, with my family. It honestly would just be best if I died. And 3 days later, I almost got my wish. I had a 16-hour neck surgery. And as I came out of that surgery, my body began shutting down. My fever soared to 108 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And the doctors induced me into a coma. They had no idea what was going on. My body completely crashed. And they would find out in time that I had developed pneumonia. And that somehow got into my bloodstream. So I developed septic shock, which is an extremely deadly blood infection.
Yeah.
And they told my family, she will not live. And so for 8 days, I was actually in a coma and had no idea that I was in this battle for my life. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up 8 days later, my family was like, you're such a fighter. And I'm like, no, actually, I had no idea that this was happening. I had no idea what was going on. And actually, I didn't want to be here. That was my way out, you know. But deep down, I just felt like this inner peace, like I must be here for a reason. My doctors are bawling, sobbing at what a miracle it was that I was alive. I mean, if you look at the numbers, it is a miracle that I'm here. And I thought, wow, okay, well, maybe I'm here for a reason. And I spent the next 5 months doing my rehabilitation in Rochester and trying to learn independence, which was extremely difficult because those 8 days that I was in the coma, I actually lost 50 pounds, 5-0.
Wow.
It was just skin and bone. I could barely move anything. I mean, if you see my arm movements now, I didn't have any of that because I was just so weak. Mm-hmm. So trying to get back whatever independence I could have. And I was diagnosed as a C5 quadriplegic. So I can move my head, my neck, my shoulder muscles, my bicep muscles, and my deltoid muscles.
Mm-hmm.
My fingers are paralyzed. So I had to relearn how to do everything without the movement of my fingers, which your fingers are huge, you know, so it was relearning everything. And it wasn't like learning how to get dressed because those were things that I would never be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was things like learning how to feed myself, learning how to brush my teeth, learning how to do my makeup, learning how to write, you know, with things that I could do with my arms and the little movement that I did have. And it was an extremely hard time. I mean, my boyfriend broke up with me. My parents' marriage was falling apart. We had to sell the only home that I'd ever lived in to build a new wheelchair accessible home.
Oh.
I just felt like I was tearing apart my family. I felt like it was all my fault. I felt like there was just this burden of weight, and I tried to be strong for my family.
Yeah.
I knew that they were struggling so much. I tried to keep a smile on my face, and I just was failing miserably at trying to be strong for everyone. And I just fell into this deep depression that really nobody else saw. It was mostly at night when the doctors and nurses would leave, when I was supposed to be sleeping. That was when I was grieving, and that was when I was processing everything. And it was an awful time. It was absolutely horrible, of all these feelings that I was feeling. And I didn't grow up in a family where we communicated very well. Okay. We kind of just stuffed everything down and thought it would go away. And that, yep, by the way, anybody listening today, that doesn't work.
That's not a good idea.
No. And so I finally just got to the point where I couldn't carry it anymore. And I think I cried for 15 hours. It felt like that anyways.
Yeah.
And I just, honestly, the next morning, it felt like 100 pounds had been lifted off. I just grieved, you know. Yeah. And I had many more of those moments, as you can only imagine, in my future, and began to just see a light at the end of the tunnel slowly as I moved home, slowly as I graduated high school on time. I decided to go to college at Winona State University, and everybody's like, how's that going to work? I'm like, you know, I actually have no idea, but I'm going to try. My dream was to go to college. I did not know anybody else in a wheelchair, so I just knew, like, old people in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
So it was something that I think when I had my accident, myself and a lot of people in my community just thought, oh, what a tragedy, your life is over. And I was thinking, I have to try to make the most of this. I'm only 17 years old. Yeah. I have a lot of life ahead of me. And so I went to college. And my faith has been a huge part of my recovery. I have to say that, because, my faith, I would not be where I am today without my faith. That is just huge, huge, huge. And just the support, my family, I had amazing friends. And as I graduated from college, I learned how to drive while I was going to college. I drive with my arms.
Okay.
Didn't know that was possible. So it's like,
I want to know how that works.
It's crazy. I have a video out on my YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
It shows how I drive. I highly recommend watching it, because you can't understand it until you see it.
Yeah.
It's wild. The technology, I'm so grateful for. And then I went on to get my second bachelor's degree. And then I decided that I was going to build my own home. And I moved out. I built a home. I lived on my own with caregivers coming in a couple hours in the morning, an hour or two through the day, and then an hour or two at night. And I was way more independent than I ever thought. And I was just doing all these things on my own. And I'm like, wow, like, this life is actually really good. I can't believe I'm seeing this, you know, and I should be home feeling sorry for myself, but I just got too much to do. And that was when I started speaking and sharing my story with people, and just realizing that I had a story that people needed and that I could help people. And that was something that I always wanted to do.
Yeah,
I just didn't know how to do it. How can I help people? And that was where I started speaking. And then I was crowned Miss Wheelchair USA, which was really crazy. Didn't even know there was such.
Oh my gosh. How did you get into that?
Yeah, somebody told me about it. And I just found the organization and reached out and applied. Cool. And in the meantime of that, I had met my now husband, and he went with, and I was writing my first book. It was just like the craziest time. And then he proposed, and then we got married, which has been amazing. We've been married now for over 12 years.
Oh, yay.
He's awesome. And I love him so much. And then I wrote a second book about our marriage. And then we work together. We travel and speak mostly at schools and organizations. And then all these other things have been happening with, I've been starting to coach and working on a course. And so lots of exciting things, because I love helping others. And I look back at when I was told I would never walk again, I just thought my life was over. And today I love my life. And I'm so grateful that I'm here. I'm so grateful for all the people that I get to help. And I love, because we all go through hard times. We all go through struggles and challenges. And for me, helping others is what makes everything that I've been through worth it. because I know what other people are going through. And it's probably not similar circumstances, but the whole thing of change and grief and loss and fear and stress and uncertainty, I know what that feels like. And that's what I love helping other people with.
Yeah, you definitely know what that's like. I caught myself as I was getting ready to talk to you thinking, I can empathize with your situation, but I'll start thinking, oh gosh, I've been dealing with this dental thing going on for the last month and it's really painful. But then I think Tasha is in a wheelchair and she had this fall and this whole thing. It's still, I mean, how do you respond to that?
Oh, tragedy and it's change. Change is hard. I mean, it's just like people say that to me all the time. Oh, well, I haven't been through what you've been through. And I'm like, no, no, you haven't. But change is change and trauma is trauma. You don't have to go through what I've been through. We all have our own story. We have to realize that as human beings, we only know what we've experienced. Mm-hmm. And so we have to realize that it still is trauma. It still is change. And that is the human experience.
Yeah.
And so that's why I love helping others because, and I certainly never compare myself. I know people that have way worse situations than I do.
Yeah.
You have a spectrum, but it still is change. And it still is grief. It's still all those human emotions, all those stages of loss. And that's why we need each other.
Definitely.
Help each other get through. Yep.
Yeah. And it sounds like it was a gradual process for you to go from, oh my gosh, I shouldn't even be alive, to, oh, I can help people. Like, I can take this and I can do something with it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. 10 years.
10 years. Okay.
10 years.
Yeah.
And I look back and I see, you know, this was in 1997, and there was just nothing about mental health. There was nothing about counseling. And I had thought sometimes, maybe I should see a counselor. And I'm like, no, that's for weak people. And I don't need that. I can do this on my own. And I look back and I think, 10 years. And trust me, this is a life-changing, life-altering situation. So I probably should give myself some more grace.
Yeah.
But what I say now, is that it shouldn't have taken that long. And if I would have just asked for help, if I would have seen a counselor, if I would have reached out and not tried to do it all myself, I would have gotten a lot further, a lot faster.
Yeah.
And that's, I've done counseling. I went and did counseling probably about 3 or 4 years after I got married. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Why did I not do this sooner? Oh my gosh. And I went to counseling. I had some trust issues that I wanted to work through. Mm-hmm. And with my disability and being married, and I was just scared to be vulnerable and all of that. Mm-hmm. But if she helped me with that in 4 times of meeting her, what would have happened if I had talked to somebody when I had my accident? That's the one thing I would change is just really reaching out to help. And so I just always want to advocate, if you're listening today, please reach out for help. You can get through these things so much faster.
Yeah.
When you are working with someone that can empathize and has been there and knows the tools of how to work through it, really bridge that gap. So we all need each other.
We do. Maybe you taking that length of time, there was a reason for that. We go back to faith, like God puts you in that position, or he didn't put you in that position, but he was with you. And I'm going to give her a little bit more to make her sure.
And absolutely. Like, I see that too. There is the timing and everything, but I just think God also gave us relationships and people.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times I didn't want to tell people how I was feeling because I felt like I was going to be a burden on them, or I felt like, you know, they couldn't handle it. And I just think, I don't know why as human beings, we're so stubborn to ask for help. You know, we just are like, no, I don't want to bother anybody. And so I think there's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. But I also think, you know, 10 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And that I could have, even if it was a year or two. And again, like, I feel like everything I've been through is, I now help others with that. So I can say that now. Like, I wouldn't want to go back and change it, but I would, could have gotten further.
Yeah.
And that's what I've learned. That's why I love to share.
And then you share with other people who will learn from that.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I totally get what you're saying about being stubborn and not letting other people. And I do it even with my husband. He retired 3 years ago now. And not that we didn't talk while he was working, but now that he's home more, I'm realizing, oh, I can connect with him again, or like how he did before. And it's amazing.
Yes.
And again, what was I waiting for? I didn't have to wait until he retired.
But I don't know. That's why. It's like, I don't know why, but it's just.
Yeah.
It doesn't come naturally. We have to force ourselves to be like, I, A, can't do this on my own. B, this would be so much better if I had support.
Yeah.
That's just been a huge part of what I share.
Yeah. When we're confident, we put out this confidence feeling, this or this energy. And there must be days where you think, I don't know if I can do it today. I need a day.
Absolutely. I mean, life is hard. That is the first and foremost truth.
Yep.
Not fair. Life is hard. However, there are tons of things in our life that are awesome, wonderful, and beautiful. And I have found through my journey that when I focus on the things that are awesome, beautiful, and wonderful, it makes those hard things so much easier to deal with. You know, and for me, I have, since for years, this last week was actually 28 years since my accident. So it's been 28 years. And so it's been a long time. You know, I meet with people who are just starting this journey with a spinal cord injury. And they're like, how can you be so confident? How can you be so happy? And I'm like, it takes time. And you have to grieve. You have to process. You cannot skip any of those emotions. I have people have spinal cord injuries. And a week later, they're like, I want to speak. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. But you have so much to process right now.
Yeah.
You cannot get up and speak in front of people. That's 2-3 years down the road. You have to process what you're going through. You have to grieve. You have to plan. I mean, there's just so much that comes with this life. But I learned also, besides asking for help, the importance of a positive attitude. And that took me a long time because all I could think about was all that I had lost. And that's only normal. I had lost a lot. That is
normal.
I had lost what I thought was my future, I lost my independence. My parents got divorced. And I thought at the time, I thought it was my fault. It was like all these things, I lost so much. But then I started to realize as I moved home, I moved into my parents' new house that they had built me. And I began to realize, and of course, I don't even think there was Dr. Phil at the time. Anybody remembers Dr. Phil? Or it's still even popular. But he has this famous phrase, how's that working for you? I literally was feeling sorry for myself every day. And I just got to this point where I'm like, is that working for you? Thinking these things, my life is over. It would be better if I were dead. I have no purpose. This is so unfair. Like, why couldn't this happen to so-and-so at school who's mean to everybody? Why me? All these things. What if I hadn't been at play practice?
Yeah.
What if I hadn't taken that step? You know, all these things that were going through my mind. And I just started to think, why don't you just start to focus on the fact that you're grateful to be alive? I should not be here.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Ladies, I am so excited about my new venture in this podcast. I'm calling it Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. You are going to get me, Kim Benoy, once or twice a month. I'm going to be getting real with you about the conversations that I have with my guests. And I'm going a little bit deeper. I'm going to bring my own personal experiences into it. I'm going to share what I've got going on in the hopes that you will share right back with me. This is not going to be me just talking in front of the microphone. I want your input. I want your participation. If you go to my show notes at the end of this episode, you'll see a support the show. That is where you can subscribe to Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. For only $5 a month, you're going to get this extra bonus content once, twice a month, and we're going to talk about what's really happening in midlife.
I'm going to share my experiences. I'm going to get real. I'll probably get a little vulnerable. I'll be sharing things I don't normally share. So please subscribe so that you can get in on the founding members of this new Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. I'll see you there.
And so every time I would have one of those thoughts, I would just say, I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to be alive. I would just think that. And then I'm grateful for my family. My family, they all have the most amazing family who stood by me and helped me and just sacrificed their world for me to get better and to have an accessible home and to, I mean, take care of me. And then I was grateful for the sunshine and that list started to grow.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm thankful for my friends. And I'm thankful that I live in the United States where it's accessible for me to go to the grocery store and go to school. And I just started getting to this point, and it did not happen overnight. It was months and years of being like, yeah, I could sit home and feel sorry for myself, but where would that get me? It certainly is not a place that I want to say. I've always been an optimistic person. My family is very optimistic. And so I just really started forgetting why I should feel sorry for myself and being grateful for all the wonderful things in my life. And that was when I started speaking. And man, when you see a life impacted, it is priceless. It is, you cannot put a dollar amount on that. And that is what fills my bucket. That really, really, really makes me love my life. No, do I have moments where I'm like, this really stinks? Yep. Do I have tough days? Yep. We all do. Like those, but they're far and few between because I realized how short life is. I realized how precious life is. And I just want to spend every day making the most of the time that I have because not one of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Okay. And I have just come to the point where it's like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we lost our cats. And that was so hard. My cats were 17 years. I know we had to put both the down. It was awful. It was awful. I mean, it was so sad. It was just, and watching my husband, he was grieving. I was grieving. I mean, these cats were our life because we don't have kids.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was just horrendous. And I'm like, you know what? This is what I didn't do when I had my accident. When I had my accident, I tried to be strong for everybody else. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to grieve. I am going to grieve the loss of these animals. And I know some people are like, oh my gosh, they're an animal. And I'm like, no, like this.
They're your kids.
17 years. I didn't even remember my life before them. I basically moved into my house and got them within 6 months to a year. So they've been here in my entire journey. They've been in our home ever since we got married.
Yeah.
2013. So it's just like, oh, and you know what? It taught me so much. There's nothing wrong with grieving. Yeah. Nothing wrong with taking a day to mourn the loss. But then it's picking yourself up and moving forward and focusing on that gratitude. Because we can and will be swallowed up by negativity and fear and all of those things. We let it. So we have to process through and really lean on our team, ask for support, go to counseling, work with a coach to support you so that you can process through and come out on the other side stronger than before. And that is what I've learned and what I've seen helps me so much in my own journey. So I hope that answers that question.
Yes, in spades. What came to my mind as you were talking about changing it from, this is horrible, to I have gratitude. When we clear out that negative, there's more room for that positive gratitude to come in.
I mean, honestly, there are days where I'm like, I can't even think of why I would feel sorry for myself.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much gratitude in my heart. When I'm having a tough day, that's the first thing I pull out is my gratitude list. It's the first thing. People are like, what should I do? Gratitude list, gratitude list, gratitude list. Like,
yes.
I promise you, it does not seem like it's powerful or impactful It is huge. Mm-hmm. So important. When you have an attitude of gratitude, it is really hard. I feel like you can't really have both.
You can't.
You can't. Like,
it's not possible.
Right. When you choose gratitude, it just pushes out that negativity. I was just doing that yesterday. I was sitting in my living room and I was like, oh my goodness, I have so much. Because it was cold yesterday morning and I'm like, oh, I'm so grateful for heat. I'm so grateful for my home. I'm so grateful. And I was just listing all these things that I was grateful for. And I felt so empowered afterwards. I was like, yeah. Oh, that was awesome. There's so much power in this.
And I think, Tasha, as women in midlife too, which I had to find out how old you were because you do not look like you are around my, you know, you're younger than me, but anyway. But women in midlife especially, sometimes we focus so much on we're losing how we looked as younger women and maybe our careers are changing, maybe our relationships, our kids are leaving, all that stuff. And I think it's really important for us, especially now, to focus on that, what we have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And again, I never want to undermine change because change, because there is a grieving process. Like, I want you to know it's okay to grieve. And actually grieving is how you heal.
Yes.
Grieving is how you move on. Mm-hmm. If you skip that and you try to do what I did, stuff it down, it is not going to work. Like, you have to process that. And if you need someone, whether that's a friend to lean on, to cry on, if that doesn't help, then it's counseling. You have to get that support in order to grieve in a healthy way. And I just really, absolutely, in the midlife, it is so important. But I feel like that's the one thing that I wish I had done differently was just not worrying about being strong for everybody else. I mean, like, I had people visiting me in the hospital who were sobbing and bawling. And I'm like, it's going to be okay.
But you were consoling them.
Shouldn't this be like the other way around? Like, should I be the one crying?
What the heck?
Be the one telling me that everything's going to be all right? Like, this is not how I saw this happening. Like,
this is not okay.
Wow. I can't believe that I'm being the counselor here. I just felt like I had to be strong for everybody. And that's another woman thing.
Yes.
You know, like, we have to carry it all.
Uh-huh.
We have to be strong for everybody.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. We're given our emotions for a reason. Mm-hmm. Crying is so beautiful. And I don't know why we're always like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, when I lost my cats, I would say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I'm crying. I'm like, why am I sorry?
No, it's a natural thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad my husband and I, we took at least 2 or 3 days and we just grieved. And I'm like, you know what? That was so healing. I still have my moments, but at the same time, I feel like I processed it through in a much healthier way because I allowed myself to be sad. It was, we're given those emotions and they're so important.
Yeah, for sure. And if you do keep stuffing it down, what I found is physical things start happening.
Oh,
and you're
absolutely.
Like, oh.
Yeah, your body will tell you and your body will make you process it.
Yep.
But it will show you in things that you don't want to go through.
Right.
Sickness. I mean, your body can't handle that. That's why we have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And so 100% what you said.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Tasha, you're a speaker, and I know you just came back from Oklahoma.
For a national conference.
Yeah, so tell us about what you're doing.
Yeah, so I've been speaking for, oh my goodness, almost 20 years. So I share a message called PATH. It's P-A-T-H. It's an acronym for Purpose, Attitude, Team, and Hope. Are really the four things that helped me be resilient in my journey, helped me overcome, helped me live a life of peace, joy, and thriving, which I never thought was possible. And so I love sharing that with others. So I have a keynote message where I share that. And then I also am doing coaching, one-on-one coaching, resilience coaching. So for people who are going through a difficulty, a challenge, a diagnosis, and just everything that I shared. They want the tools to know how I got through it. I do one-on-one coaching, and then I'm also creating a course that people can sign up for to learn those four tools. And it's really videos and activities and tools that they can do on their own. So,
okay, I was going to say, is it a do on your own type thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a community where we'll have a monthly group meeting to work through those strategies and have a community support system. But yeah, you can learn all about that on my website. It's tashashu.com/coaching.
Okay.
Which will have all of that information on there.
Okay. And we will put that a link to your website on our show notes so people can find it.
I appreciate that so much.
Yeah. I feel like I could just keep going.
I know. I love podcasts for that reason, because every time I get done with the podcast, I'm like, A, that was so much fun. And B, I'm so sad it's over. Like, I can't.
Yeah. I know.
And I am releasing a podcast too.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
It'll be Resilience with Tasha Shu. And so sharing my story and path and having interviews with other people who have had amazing resilient journeys. I have met some of the most amazing people in my life that, you know, when I look at my situation, people are like, oh, how can you be so happy? And I've met these people in my journey that have it way worse than I do. And they are people that are filled with joy. They are people that are filled with happiness and peace. At the end of the day, I'm like, I have to continue in that peace and joy. Just be, if they can do it, I can do it. Yeah. And that's really why I share my story too. It's just to help people to know this is possible. This is possible. Mm-hmm. And so I can't wait to have them on my podcast to share their stories and
that. So that'll be fun. And we're hoping by the time this episode comes out, that'll be
absolutely
coming out. Because you got it started. So yay. Yay.
Yes.
Excited to listen to it too.
Yay.
All right. Well, before we say goodbye, you've given us so many wonderful messages. Is there any one more little nugget of knowledge or information or inspiration you want to share?
I just hope is my favorite word. And I always love sharing that because hope is a word that's not easy to define. You know, it's like this kind of this hope, like I hope so, or I hope this works out. And that's not the hope that I talk about. The hope I talk about is really just the importance of believing that better days are ahead. I mean, we live in a very dark world. We live in a world with so much going on that can be just turn on the TV. And in 10 minutes, you're hopeless, right?
Oh, that's why I don't turn on the TV.
I don't either. I'm just feeling so overwhelmed by, and you don't even have to turn the TV on now. It's on your phone. It's on YouTube. I mean, every little headline that comes up, it's like, oh my goodness, this world is so dark. There's so much evil. There's so much bad. And you just can easily feel like it's hopeless. Like, why even try? Why even move forward? Why even? But yet there is so much good in our world. Mm-hmm. And we have to trust and believe that better days are ahead. You know, when I had my accident, I thought my life's over. And I just kept believing, no, my life is not over. Good things have to be coming. There has to be a better future for me. I just have to keep persevering. I have to be resilient. I have to hold on. And I tell people I put one foot in front of the other, which is actually quite hilarious because I don't move my feet. But I figuratively,
I know what you mean.
Kept going. You know, I had this motto at the time, one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time. I'm not going to think about 5 years from now. I'm going to think about today. I'm going to get my best that I can today. And I look back at my 10-year anniversary of my accident and I'm like, what? I have 2 bachelor's degrees. I've learned how to drive. I just moved into my new home. I'm like, oh my goodness, a lot of great things are happening.
Yeah.
Then I went through a really hard time in 2012. I was in a relationship that ended. I fell into this deep, deep depression. And he was not a very nice man. So he had said some really hurtful things they thought were true. And I just fell into this. And I prayed. I was like, I need wisdom. Like, I need to know what the future holds for me. And I went to this concert the next day. And the whole theme of the concert was the best is yet to come. And I was like, that's for me. That's for me. Thank you, God. And I came home. I wrote it on post-it notes. I wrote it on my mirrors and a erase marker. I was like, the best is yet to come. I have to trust that. And I am so thankful that I did, because in the next year, I met my husband. I released my first book. Miss Crowell, Miss Wheelchair USA, our speaking business catapulted. I'm like, what if I would have quit? Yeah. What if I would have succumbed to that depression, that just overwhelming shadow of darkness, that this cloud? My sister was like, what is going on? This is not like you. And I literally had to claw myself out of this black pit of darkness. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful that I held on to hope. And so if anybody here that's listening today, please choose hope. Please know that you're resilient. Please know you can do this. You're stronger than you realize. And the best is yet to come. I truly believe that.
I love that so much. Tasha, thank you so much. You're inspiring to me, and I'm sure to the listeners as well. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. We will talk to you very soon, I have a feeling.
Wonderful. Can't wait.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Midlife with Courage podcast. If you liked what you heard, I would love it if you would leave a review so that I can keep bringing you amazing guests just like Tasha. Until next time, take care of your beautiful self.